Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're here, of course. U.S. Open starts in like a month or soon, right? Tomorrow? Is it tomorrow? Tonight?
Monday.
It starts Monday. I'm a big fan of it, actually.
Okay.
You know, they do, the U.S. Open is a little known fact. The Fifth Avenue stores that sell their products during it's a 2 week or 3 weeks?
Two weeks.
During the 2 weeks of the U.S. Open, I'm talking about like Abercrombie & Fitch, Polo, whoever it is, they do more sales in those 2 weeks at the Open than they do the entire year on Fifth Avenue.
That's incredible.
That's because the tennis folk like to buy stuff.
They like to buy stuff. And think how many tennis fans come into town.
It's great. And with obviously Arthur Ashe Stadium and all the refurbishing of it, it's a great place. If you've never been to the Open and you can afford to go or get a ticket, by all means, you should go. You, of course, had some magical moments there, which is one of the reasons you're here to talk to us today beyond the Tennis Channel and this great new coffee product called Lavazza. But when you look back on your life, which I'm sure you've done a million times over and talked to guys like us probably too many times, is there an aspect of being 16 years old and 9 months and winning not just any major, but our favorite major, where it's no longer real? I don't want to say surreal, where, hey, that was somebody else, it wasn't me.
Yeah, that's a really, really good question, because I have kids older than when I was winning the U.S. Open at 16 and 18. So I look back at pictures, and obviously it feels like me, but it's so long ago. And I think the fact that I was 16 and so naive going into that championship against Chris Evert, who'd won it 4 or 5 times in a row already, I would have been overwhelmed if I knew what a big deal it really was. So I went in there just thinking about what am I going to have to do to beat Chris today, not how it's going to change my life.
Now, what's interesting is that she was America's sweetheart. When you beat Navratilova, people were on your side. They're rooting for you. You're a young American girl. You're going after Martina Navratilova.
In the semis.
And that's, you had the whole place on your side. And I wonder what it was like being a kid. But now you're going after Chris Evert. And we adored her. And were people...
Sounds like you adored her.
Well, I did. Listen, I'm 48 years old. So yes, I adored Chris Evert.
You guys are right in his wheelhouse.
But I always wondered that. You went from the fan favorite to... Not that you were booed, but, all right, she got this far. This is Chris's tournament. So did you feel that dynamic at all?
No, not at all. I think a lot of people were rooting for, supposedly at that time, the underdog. And, 16 years old, she's never going to beat her. And it was kind of an anomaly. And young American as well. At the time, I had pigtails. So people were, I probably looked even younger. So, no, I didn't feel that. And the other thing is that when you're out on the court, that wasn't something that I focused on. It wasn't something that I really cared about. All I was thinking about was inside that rectangle. I didn't know that there was anybody in the stands except my mom. Once in a while, I would look at her. Once in a while, I would look over at my coach. But other than that, I look back at the match, and I haven't done it that often, but I look back, and I was like almost a robot. I'd finish a point, and I'd go, boom, next to the next.
Sorry, boom. I'm going to interrupt you for a minute. I'm going to train a thought after finishing. I can't let you do anything.
I'm going to smash your face in his cake, by the way.
So you brought something. You haven't watched it a lot. Have you watched it with your kids?
No, I have not.
Have they watched it?
I don't think they've ever watched it.
These are lousy kids. Come on. Don't you sit down like it's Austin Family Night and kids are making you watch when mommy beat Chris Evert to win one of two U.S. Open titles.
No.
I'll watch it with your kids.
No.
Because they have not watched it. That's fascinating to me.
Yeah. No, I'm just mom to them, and that's the way I kind of want it. And actually, I have one son that – I have three sons, and I have one son that takes tennis really seriously, and he hasn't even watched it.
Can you beat him?
No, I cannot beat him. He's 19. He plays at USC.
Come on. He hasn't watched it. He's had to watch it.
He maybe have watched a couple of points when I go on a news show, but no. I don't even know where I would even find it. I'm sure we have it in our house somewhere.
It's got to be on YouTube somewhere.
It's got to be. Fascinates me. So your kids have not seen.
Crazy. What I want to ask you is, at the age of 16, were the girls, were they trying to intimidate you, or did you feel intimidated in any way? You're in a locker room filled with adults, filled with champions, filled with aggressive ladies. Did they try to intimidate you in that fashion?
Well, there were some that did. Right. I'm not going to name names, but there were some. I mean, think about it. I was 14 when I started playing on the tour.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, I was.
I have a 6-year-old daughter. That's
I was
why I'm
4'11". I was 89 pounds, and I'm starting to play the tour. And so there were some. My sister actually played on the tour, so there were some that were friends with her that kind of embraced me and kind of were trying to show me the way. And then there were others that really didn't like it when I started to beat them. And so, you know, there were certain things that they might say to newspapers, reporters that didn't make me feel comfortable. But that's sports, right? So I had to get over that. But it was difficult. Think about it as well. When you went on the football field, you felt like they were your peers.
Sure.
At 14, I didn't have many peers out there.
How
and
could
everybody
you, right?
was 4 to 6
do
years
older.
Do
you view yourself as a cautionary tale? In that maybe it was too much at too young an age for you to have the lengthy...
Well, the one that came after you was Jennifer Capriati, right?
Jennifer Capriati.
And she's the one that had the problems later on in life.
Yeah, I think what's important is that my dad still had his job. My dad was still making his own money, and this was something that I wanted to do. I think that in sports, whether it's football or baseball or hockey, tennis, whatever it is, it's when it's the parents' idea and it's the parents that's looking for... the end game, which is the money and the commercials and all of that, they're looking at it in the wrong way. It's supposed to be a journey that you love. It's a game. It's supposed to be a passion.
So
I felt like I had the good foundation.
When you see like LeVar Ball and the Ball family, that must drive you crazy. Now, nothing for the kids are wonderful kids and talented and will make the NBA or not on their own merit. But when you see a helicopter dad like that who's making it about himself, that's got to drive you bonkers, right?
Well, I think it shouldn't be about the parents. It should definitely be about the kids. I think he has three boys, and they're in the Los Angeles area. That's
right.
Where I live. So I've heard a lot about them and the talent that they have. And I think that the parents should be in the background as much as possible, and it should be about the kids, and it should be the kids' passion. I mean, I think the parents obviously are very important in a positive way, because when you're going through this journey, you have to have people to fall back on, to help pick up the pieces if you get down, but it should basically be about the kids.
Talking to Tracy Austin now, were your parents tennis players, or were you just a gifted young athlete and they saw that and embraced your desires to play and, you know, taxi cabbed you from here to there, or were they also players and you learned it from watching your mom or dad play?
Yeah, my dad was a nuclear physicist. He went to MIT.
What?
Yes, exactly.
Can
so
he count cards when...
So he had no idea about tennis, no desire.
Really?
It was my mom.
Like a legitimate...
Like a nuclear like sent, like really? Biking to Mars, worked
legitimate.
On that.
Legitimate...
Yeah. Like he would have loved,
smartest
he's passed away.
Room.
Yes, he would have loved the eclipse and how many miles and how fast the speed of light and all that stuff. So, yes, so he wasn't a real sports fanatic.
Sure.
My mom worked at a tennis club with Jack Kramer, who's the old tennis player, number one in the world. He started a tennis club in our area and was looking for someone to run the pro shop. And he had met my mom at the local park. She started playing tennis after her fourth kid. And loved tennis, and so she said, sure, I'll run the pro shop, I'll be the manager. I was the fifth kid, came along right when the club started.
So you happened to
be there. It was kind of that perfect storm, how it just got lucky. Everybody else played, so I played. Loved it.
Who are the youngest ones on tour now? Do you ever see this happening ever again?
You know, I don't, because they put in the age eligibility rule on the women's side, where you have to have it stepped up every level until you're 18, where you can finally play unlimited. And I think it's changed physically as well. You know, I talked about I was 4'11", 89 pounds, and I still got to the quarters of the U.S. Open at 14.
Right.
That wouldn't happen now, because the players are so much stronger. They're so much taller, physically more imposing. They travel with trainers. They travel with physios. So it's a different game. It's more physical now.
Do you think at 14 you'd be drinking Lavazza coffee to get you through a match? Is that something you might do?
Yeah, I might do that. Lavazza coffee is important.
What's the story of this? So they obviously have the K-Cups. So you can bang it out for your Keurig. You have to these days. And what's the connection with Lavazza?
Lavazza is relaunching the K-Cup here in the United States. It's an Italian coffee company that's been around over 120 years. It's family-owned. And I think it's the relaunch of the K-Cup that's important, trying to build that legacy of Lavazza and the U.S. Open. All those players are trying to continue to build their legacy, like Roger Federer, he's 36 years old.
And he's like an old man now in tennis.
Yeah, but that old man is still playing at a very, very high level.
Yeah,
man.
Like Tom Brady, he's not doing too
well. Well, you know what he's doing? But he's being smart. He's not playing in all these tournaments. He's basically keeping himself fresh for all the majors, which is why he's so successful this late in his career. Because the things that he does on the tennis court, you could appreciate it more than I can. Just the little subtle things that he does to win matches is amazing. And I only know that simply because I have a friend that just loves tennis.
Right.
And all he ever tells me is just watch his footwork.
Federer.
Watch how he drops the ball. Watch his shoulders. Watch his overhand. You know, it's crazy all the little things that he does that nobody else seems to be capable
of
doing.
Tracy, Boomer can't beat me at tennis.
How do you know?
There's certain things you know in life. It's one of the great things. Like, he's obviously a pro athlete, so he's got me in most things.
I bet his serve is big.
Can't beat me in tennis.
No.
And he kills him.
You know what, Tracy, I'll tell you something. I let him go off in these tangents. I don't know why, because I think it just makes him feel better about himself, and I'm always trying to keep him up.
You're trying to keep him positive, right?
Give him some confidence. We have never played tennis together.
He knows, all I can tell you is that
when my foot, I have plantar fasciitis, when my foot calms down and it's good again,
yeah.
I'm going to take him out. I'm going to beat his ass like he's never been beaten
before.
Just serve big. Yeah, and then you won't even have to worry about your plantar fasciitis.
He doesn't have that.
I do have that.
He knows. We all know. It's one of the things we've happened.
And I'm more of a clay court guy anyway.
See?
Already.
You like the clay because that's easier on the foot as well.
Yes, and you can slide.
But you know what? Boomer brought up a great point. Is that Roger's managing his schedule. And I think that's really important. And he's also taking care of his body. That's why we're seeing these players being able to play until they're 36.
Sure.
Serena, it was 35 when she won the U.S.
Open. Let me ask you this. I wonder what the relationship you had or have with John McEnroe.
John and I have a really good relationship.
You do.
We came up together first Wimbledon. I played. I was 14, and he was 18, and he got to the semifinals.
Right.
We won the first U.S. Open
together.
With the headband and the tight little shorts.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And everyone seems to hate Jimmy Connors.
I love Jimmy Connors.
He's like an ornery guy, tough to get along with. I used to love Jimmy Connors. Jimmy was good to you, good guy. You have a relationship with him?
I've known Jimmy since I was a little girl. He was actually roommates with my brother, Jeff, at UCLA. The one year that Jimmy went to school.
You think he's misunderstood or just some people just he don't like?
Well, I think what was great about that era, it's so different
personalities.
I mean, Roger and Rafa have great personalities, but they love each other.
Right.
There was so much hatred between Jimmy and John.
Right.
And it's still there a little bit, which is kind of interesting.
Right.
And when they got on the court, they wanted to kill each other.
That's awesome.
Then throw in Lendl, and they wanted to kill him as well. So when you're watching this match, you really, I think as fans, you're invested in a match. Whether you're watching a basketball game or a baseball game, oftentimes as a fan, you either love a team and you want them to win, or you hate that other team and you want them to lose. And so Jimmy and John brought that out.
We're talking to the great Tracy Austin. Are the tours still where it's really highly individualized, or is there more fraternization going on between the competitors?
Less than ever.
Right.
Because
when
everybody.
You say fraternization, you mean like socially?
No, not sexually. I
what you mean like they get along, they travel together.
I just want to know if they're hanging out, and because what I hear is that everybody is so separated from each other. That maybe back in the day was a little bit different than that.
Well, you kind of relied on each other because maybe people had a coach and then everybody started having a coach. But still, now you look at it and they've got a coach, they have a hitting partner, they have a trainer, they have a physio.
And it's so egotistical because it's you against, it's teamwork.
Have so many people of your own team that people tend to hang out just together.
Did you just hear yourself? Yeah.
Yeah. Did you go to the Taste of Tennis tonight or no?
I'm not. Are you going?
I've been to it every year. This is the only year I'm not going because it's our softball.
Lavazza will be there.
Yes. We'll be at the Taste.
Lavazza will be there.
Eddie, keep your hands off my Lavazza. Tracy bought it for me. The other thing I want to ask you, Maria Sharapova, real quickly. She got the exemption to come and play. Is she ready to be back? Are you ready for her to be back? Has she been out long enough?
Yes. Her suspension for performance-enhancing drugs was 15 months. She served her time. She came back in April. Kind of interesting because
Jeannie
Bouchard was tough on her.
Yes.
Called her a cheater.
Yep.
Thought she shouldn't be getting these wild cards.
Well, that was the French Open, right? And she did. The French did not allow her to play.
The French did not. They were going to
expect from them.
Yeah. Yes.
Right.
Were you disappointed that she did not play in that, or did you think she should have been able to play in that?
Gosh, that's so tough. I mean, I think the French made their decision, and they had so many players that were complaining about Maria getting the wild cards and taking that away from someone else. They felt that because she was out for performance-enhancing drugs, she should work her way back in. But she's only played four tournaments in 4 months because she's already had two other injuries. So I personally am very glad that she's back at the U.S. Open.
Lavazza.
Lavazza. And the women's draw is wide open.
Yeah,
wide
but open. I was just reading about her this morning. She's basically saying she doesn't think that she's in shape, both mentally or physically, to do what it takes to win a tournament.
She said that herself.
Well, I'm kind of paraphrasing.
Yeah, because she's only played the four tournaments.
She doesn't sound very confident, really.
But I will say she's a five-time champion, and I put her in the conversation just because of the way that she competes, and there's so much opportunity.
Who's the odds-on favorite with Serena out?
I think Garbiñe Muguruza, who just won Wimbledon, has a good chance. And Simona Halep. Don't tell me who on that one.
I know Simona Halep.
Okay. And Garbiñe Muguruza. Just won Wimbledon.
Muguruza. I can't say that. I mean, I got no shot at
that. Do you know how to spell it?
No, I was going to ask you to spell it. We were earlier on the show. You can't use a word unless you can spell it. How about that? So you're out. You can no longer say that.
I'm out. He's kicking me out.
No, listen, I could talk to you all day. I'm fascinated by the history of... It's funny. As Americans, you know the story. You know, 25 years ago, we loved tennis because there's so many American players. And then you went, Sampras came along. You know, you had your moment, and Chris Everett. There was Chris Everett Lord. There was like the Chris Everett. And, the Williams, of course. But it's almost like it's similar to boxing.
Andy Roddick was the last male champion.
It's very similar to boxing in that we've lost the great American blank. Whether it's the men or the women, doesn't matter. You know, other than with respect to Serena and Venus, who've dominated for a long time. And I just wonder if that phenom at 9 years old is out there somewhere in this country, that 5, 6, 8, 9, 10 years from now will come on the scene as the great American, especially in the male side, where we've not had that since Andy Roddick.
You're exactly right. Andy Roddick was the last one to win a major, and that was 2003 U.S. Open. So that's 14 years.
Which is absurd.
Wow, that's a long time.
Like, we're better than every other country, especially the French.
Yeah, but who's been winning everything? It's Roger Federer, Rafa Nadal.
People.
It's the same five. He knows his stuff. Yes. They've been very stingy with hoarding all those majors.
Would you play mixed doubles with me against Boomer and the female pro of his choice, or no?
Sure, I guess.
Do you play still?
I do. I play two or three times a week.
As do I. So
I'm close.
As do I. I want to see you play. Is your backhand good?
My backhand?
Yeah.
Nah.
No. So what's good?
My backhand is good only down the line.
Oh, because you can't hit it out in front enough?
I have a tough time coming around and hitting cross court because I'm a two-handed backhand.
Right.
Which I think is the proper way to hit a backhand. But I have a tough time going cross court.
We'll work on that.
I won't, to be honest with you.
Won't.
But we had a deal, was it, with Hingis, right?
Yeah.
Or is it Monica Seles? I think Monica Seles was here.
Yeah.
And she promised us that if I found a female partner who could play, that she would play us in mixed doubles.
Okay. So you're going to play with Monica?
I don't get to play
with Boomer. I'm against Boomer. I don't want to face his serve.
He's got nothing.
You should see me at the net, too. When I'm
he's got plantar fasciitis.
I will try to hit him right in the face with the ball.
He can't. He still uses the old...
How long have you had this plantar fasciitis? That is a pain.
It is. It really is. It's probably about 6 weeks.
Oh.
Yeah.
That is so difficult to get over.
It basically ruins your entire summer.
It's just...
He's got a bad groin. His shoulder's killing him.
Well, he kind of had people hitting him, right, for many years?
He's a quarterback. He wasn't a linebacker.
They still hit you.
Yeah, back in the day when they actually could hit the quarterback.
Career regrets? I know we got to take a break and get out of here, but...
Career regrets, I didn't play the majors when I was in high school because I was in high school. Because
your father
was
so into academics?
No, I wanted to stay and finish my high school career.
Why?
And why weren't you around then?
You're 16 years old, you won the U.S. Open twice.
And then I went back to school.
I'd rather go to high school.
Yeah, stupid choices.
So, you're playing in high school, so you win the league? you win your division in high school?
Is dumb. That, Boomer, why didn't you tell me?
Do you have all those trophies still?
No.
That'd be great. So you have the poor kid out there, like in Scarsdale.
Right.
The tennis regionals are up. Who are you playing against? Tracy, oh my God.
No, I actually didn't play in high school, but I went back to high school, which I should have. I won the Italian, beat Chris, and then I went back during the French to high school to study.
You had no
history
people in your life
something.
Giving you good advice.
No,
then.
And by the way,
right?
You look like you're still in great shape. What are you benching these days?
Benching?
Yeah.
We ask every guest.
We ask all our guests that. We want to know what you can
not
bench.
Not much.
Do you want the piece of the cake that's got our picture, the name of the show, or just the pretty flowers?
Well, I like the name of the show, but I don't want to. Right. That's kind of, a beautiful cake.
Well, yeah, it was made, Grandma's house made it to eat it, not to take pictures of it.
Oh, that's nice.
By the way, he's cutting it with a Swiss Army knife.
Yeah.
That's right.
That. Is that clean?
As far as you know.
Oh, yeah.
Totally. What's inside? Is it
inside the cake?
Yes.
Jimmy Connors.
Jimmy Connors. You didn't speak very well about Jimmy. Have you had him on the show?
No, I used to love Jimmy Connors. No,
yeah. I love him.
And John McEnroe and I battle all the time, and his wife got pissed at me in an elevator once because he played Lendl in an exhibition match at the Garden maybe 8 years ago.
He just read about I can eat it right off.
And he pulled out.
Here's a plate right here. I think he's not going to share, though.
I want to make sure it's good. That of your, I want to make sure that it goes good. Lavazza. I want to make sure that Tracy Austin is worthy of Tracy Austin's mouth.
I think Tracy Austin should come in here and work for 4 hours. She can go 100 miles an hour.
Here's the deal.
So I would love Jimmy to work with you guys. You guys are fun.
Jimmy Connors is playing Lendl. Now, Lendl's a United States citizen. He's not a communist or anything. And they're playing at the Garden, an exhibition match. Sold out. And they're in the first or second set, I forget. It's irrelevant. And Magra pulls yelled, my ankle.
I read about it in his book yesterday.
I can't play anymore.
He was up 6-3, he said.
And he may have been. Maybe they played 8 in those exhibitions, whatever it is, right?
Look at his fingers.
So he goes, I can't play. I'm out. And people are pissed. So I go on the radio and I go, look, I didn't realize that Lendl was American at that point. I thought he'd been Russian or something, or Czechoslovakian.
He was Czech originally, yeah.
So I, of course, go.
Thank you so much.
If you're playing Lendl, you beat Lendl. I don't care if you got one leg. You don't drop out against Lendl. F Lendl. You beat Lendl's ass. I've since apologized to
you
before that.
You told McEnroe that?
I said it on the air. So literally that night, Boomer and I are going to a Knick game at the Garden. And they have a very bougie elevator for special people every now and then. You go to like a suite, you have drinks and stuff before the game.
Only for those who fly Magellan jets.
Right. So Boomer and I get on the elevator, and Patty, his wife, and John get on the elevator as well. Now
This is after he's retired that day.
When he's quit against Lendl.
Yep.
And I've said what I've said, and the show is broadcast on the Madison Square Garden TV network.
Do we have a napkin for this man, please?
No, I'm just going to, trust me. I'll hear the song in my own way. So they've seen it on TV. Just the four of us and the elevator attendant. And to her credit, Patty goes, is that the guy? And I go, oh, boy, here we go. And she undressed. You have some effing nerve, my husband.
Who said that? Patty?
Yeah, his wife. His ankle is hurt. Who the F? And I'm like, okay. I'm like, Patty Smythe just cursed me out.
Now, John, so happy with himself.
John and I have since become friends.
Was Boomer there as well?
Yeah, yes. Boomer does.
Boomer didn't stick up for you?
He never does with other athletes in the room. He thinks I'm a NARP, non-athletic regular person.
That's exactly what he is.
Yeah. So long story short, John and I become friends. We played a bunch of charity, like basketball games and different events together and appearances.
You're good in basketball as well, I'm just saying.
No. I missed a wide open layup in a charity game. I can make free throws better than anyone in the country, though.
In the whole country?
I can make like 94 out of 100 free throws.
Okay. So better than Shaq.
For sure. Now, let me say this. We have to go. Thank you to the Lavazza Coffee. Check it out. They redefined the Curry Cup. Tracy, it's a pleasure. We'll look forward to seeing you on the tennis channel during the Open. And if you have some extra tickets, Boom and I could use them to get in, of course.
But beyond
pleasure and good luck with everything that you're doing. And hopefully next time you're through New York, we'll have you for a longer
period
of time.
I'll have some more cake.
Yes.
Congratulations, 10 years anniversary.
Thank you very much. Great to see you again.
Not many marriages last 10 years, so
what
that's
do you mean
phenomenal.
Again? You've never met.
Yes, we have.
Don't act like, we're athletes, we have our thing.
I used to be involved with the tennis guys pro serve. She knows who they are.
Yep.
Donald Dell and David Falk and all those guys.
I
was way back in the day, yes. Okay, thank you, Tracy.
Thank you. Anyway.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.